Thank you, choir, for the beautiful song this morning. Just gets better every service, right? So we need to have a third one? No, I think they're tired and ready after this service to go home, but a big thank you. Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 32, verses 1 through 8. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Well, while I was in my teens, a lot of my friends had trail motorbikes, small little motorcycles, and they would ride them around the neighborhoods around our homes. But my parents told me I was not allowed to ride one of those trail bikes. They thought it was just too dangerous. But when I went over to their houses, the temptation was just too great. And I rode the motorbikes. But occasionally when I would come home, my mom would ask me, Fred, did you ride one of those trail bikes? No, I would say, I did not ride one of those trail bikes. But one time I was out riding, and I burned my calf on the exhaust manifold of one of those trail bikes. And I came home, and my mom saw the injury, and she said, what did you do to your leg? And I said, well, I skinned my leg against a rock. My brother happened to be home. He was just back from Vietnam. He was a medic in Vietnam. And he looked at that injury, and he said, you know, that's a burn, isn't it? My mom then asked me, how did you burn your leg? And I said, well, my friend's dad was having a barbecue, and I burned it on the barbecue. But my mom looked at the burn, and she said, well, that burn is way too big for a barbecue. And I said, well, it was a big barbecue grill. You ever notice that once you tell one lie, you have to tell another one and another one and another one? They just keep building one on top of the other. Have you ever tried to avoid going to an important event that you were supposed to go to, and somebody later asked you why you weren't there? And you said, well, what email address did you send that to? Oh, I don't use that one much anymore. And then they say, well, I left a voicemail for you. And you say, well, my voicemail's been acting up lately. We have our excuses, don't we? You ever cheated on something? And you find that in order to cover what you have cheated, you have to keep telling another story and another story. And after a while, we find that we are enslaved to all the cover-ups. I mean, the pressure just continues to build. What happens, by the way, if I keep blowing up this balloon? You'll probably regret being in the front row this morning, right? It's one of those Sundays you wish you were in the back row instead of in the front row. By the way, I've heard about marriages that have fights. Only heard. Years ago, I heard about a couple that was having a fight because before they got married, the wife had asked the husband, and this is before marriage, had asked, you know, do you want to have kids? Because I want to have several kids. And this husband said, yes, I want to have several kids. So they got married. And after they got married, the husband said, I don't want kids. I became aware of this story because they came to me as a pastor and said, can you get us through this problem? Because this problem was ready to split their marriage. In the midst, as we were talking, the husband said, I never said that I ever wanted to have kids. But about 45 minutes later, he admitted that he had said that he wanted kids before they were married. And now there was just a glimmer of hope. Months later, I heard that he decided that he would have kids, and as a result, their marriage was saved. By the way, I want to tell you that when my mom asked about that burn on my leg, I finally did have to confess and say, yes, Mom, I burned my leg on one of those trail bikes. And yes, I was grounded for a while. That's the price. When we confess, we get whatever is inside of us outside. We relieve that pressure. It gets out into the light of day. But we have to admit what we have done. We have to acknowledge what we have done. We have to take ownership of it and make it reality. You see, when we confess what we have done, we release that pressure that is inside us, that pressure of guilt. By the way, that pressure can be so intense that it can cause people to change. The Vancouver Sun newspaper reported that Thomas Martin of Oroville, California, was a manager of a Jack in the Box restaurant when he was robbed of $307 at closing time. The police, of course, came on scene, and he said that he could describe the person who robbed him. So they brought in a police artist, and as he would describe, the police artist drew the rendition of the person who had stolen the money, and when the police artist was done, he looked at Martin and said, "This person looks like you." And Martin confessed. Now, what sort of pressure had built up in Martin that he felt like confessing, I mean, just a couple hours later? So, I mean, some guilt pressure must have been inside him to feel like describing himself to the artist, and then when the time was ripe to say, yep, that was me. I mean, that's what guilt does. The writer of Psalm 32 said, remember when I read it, his body wasted away as a result of guilt. God's hand was heavy on him. His strength was dried up by the heat of the summer. That's what guilt does to us. In 2007, the New York Post reported that a man shocked the cops in the East Village when he walked into their precinct office and said he needed to see somebody. And when they sat down with him, he said, I need to confess that I strangled a woman to death in 2004. And I want to tell you that Jesus Christ told me I should turn myself in. As a result, the police solved a cold case from 2004 when Myra Gonzalez, a 45-year-old homeless woman, had been found dead in a vacant lot. The police went on to comment that we wish Jesus would solve more of these cases. The police also said the man who confessed was relieved. He was rather emotional as he confessed, but he just seemed to want to get it off his chest. You see, that's what guilt does to us. Confession is telling the truth. After we confess, there's no reason to pretend. No need to project a false image of ourselves to others. No reason to craft a mask that covers our true identity. I think the writer of Proverbs in 28:13 says it well. No one who conceals transgressions will prosper, but one who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. When you confess, you discover God's mercy. Sure, there might be consequences to be paid. Yes, restitution might have to be made. But grace and mercy are available from God. A father of an 8-year-old was rather uncomfortable when he walked into Pastor Lee Strobel's office and said, "You know, is there any chance that I could bring my 8-year-old daughter in so that she might confess about a book she took from the church bookstore?" Lee Strobel said that'd be fine. A couple hours later, the father showed up with his daughter in tow, and the 8-year-old sat across the desk from Lee Strobel. And Lee Strobel said, "Well, can you tell me what happened?" The 8-year-old girl said, "Yes, I was in the bookstore and I saw this book and I didn't have any money, so I just took the book and I put it under my coat and I walked out of the store with it. I feel bad about what I did. I shouldn't have done it. I will never do it again. Please accept my apology." And Lee Strobel said, "Well, I'm glad that you're being truthful now. But what do you think the punishment should be? The book you took was about $5. I think it's only fair that you give $5 to the bookstore, but also as punishment, I think you should pay 3 times that amount in addition, so you should pay a punishment of $20 to the bookstore. Would that be fair?" The little girl nodded yes. But Lee Strobel said he could tell by the look on her face that $20 was a mountain of cash for an 8-year-old. She had no idea where she was going to come up with this money. So he opened the drawer of his desk and he pulled out his own personal checkbook and he wrote out a check to the church bookstore and he wrote $20 down and he handed the girl the check and he said, "I'll tell you what, I will pay your punishment. You know why I'm doing this? Because I love you. I care about you. And I'm concerned about you." Lee Strobel said the look on that girl's face changed from dismay to pure joy. She was giddy with excitement that in a way her punishment had been paid. And Lee Strobel went on to say, "If you think this is great for this pastor to do that, I'm doing this to remind you that Jesus does so much more for us on a much deeper, deeper level." And it's true. After you have owned up to your problems and your bad choices, you will find out that God is with you. His arm is around you. You will find a love that transcends whatever you have done. God's love is so deep, it will make that thing you have done seem minuscule. So the question this morning is, is there anything you need to confess? Anything that needs to come from within and be brought out into the light? Is your silence killing you? Is there pressure? Because central to confession is speaking it. Speaking it to God. Speaking it to a friend. Speaking it to a pastor and even a stranger. Communion. Communion is a time for a moral inventory. Is there anything that we are pretending or fronting or masking this morning? What measure does God want us to do that maybe we're not doing? Is there anything we need to confess? Is there any way we need to be true to ourselves and what God desires us to be? Where there are no illusions and there are no delusions. That we might be who God created us to be. If that's so, I can't think of a better place to pray this morning and ask for forgiveness than a church sanctuary. I invite you during the communion time of our service to confess, if you need to. It could be a personal prayer right where you're sitting talking to God. If you need to pray with somebody this morning, then during our communion time, we will have Stephen ministers who have been trained in confidentiality, and they will be on either side this morning and along the wall and along the walls behind the side sections. So if you want to go pray with somebody this morning, you can do that. But I can't think of a better time and a better place to pray than in a sanctuary on a communion Sunday. So I invite you to do so if it's needed. Stephen Evoy talks about a time when his daughter was very, very young. His daughter's name was Jade. And this particular day, she was tired and out of sorts. You know how little kids can be sometimes. Well, the grandparents dropped by for a short visit. And that's when Jade took a piece of wrapping paper, crumpled it up, and threw it at her grandmother. Hit her in the side of the face. And it was obvious from that action that the toss was not play. It was more done out of disrespect. So as a result, Stephen said he took his daughter Jade and he had her sit in timeout corner. Put a little egg timer in front of her and had her sit there until it ran out. And then it was done. He took Jade and had her stand in front of her grandmother and apologize, but she just stood there. So he prompted her a little bit. Now remember, Jade, you have to say, "I'm sorry, Grandma." Well, Jade just teared up. And she felt, I mean, this was different from other times when it was just kind of a forced confession. This was different because she thought she had really hurt her relationship with her grandmother. And she teared up and said with sincerity, "I am sorry, Grandma." With that, Grandma reached out and swooped her up into her arms and gave her a big kiss. And then a couple minutes later, Grandma gave her her sippy cup filled with warm milk. And Jade knew everything was okay, and she was good with her grandmother, and she just laughed with joy. That night, Stephen said he reflected on what he had done as a parent, and he felt like super dad. I mean, he'd done it all right. First, he'd seen the infraction of the thrown paper. Then he'd put his daughter into timeout. And then afterwards, he brought his daughter and then had her apologize to her grandmother and restored a relationship and even engineered the sippy cup of forgiveness. He was feeling like super dad. But then he said God nudged him. And God said, "Really? Have you really thought about your own life? I mean, Jade did these things, but what about you? Have you ever done something wrong?" And he thought to himself, "Yeah, I guess I've done things that are worse than throwing a piece of wrapping paper at somebody. And have you ever felt guilt over that? Well, I guess I should feel guilt. Have you ever gone and apologized? I mean, more than just a forced confession, but really apologized and made the relationships right?" He hadn't. And he realized, in fact, his daughter was closer to God than he was. No longer did he feel like super dad. Now he felt like a person who needed to reflect at all the things that he needed to confess and become right with between him and others and between him and God. But it takes courage. Getting nervous in the front row yet? How much pressure can it take? Some people are covering their ears now. If only we had the courage to say, I wronged you. I lied. I shouldn't have said that. I am so sorry that I hurt you. I said some nasty things. I never should have talked to that other person about you. I failed you. I sinned. Please forgive me. Through confession, may we find mercy. Through openness and honesty, may we find freedom. Let us pray. Oh God, some of us here today have a heavy heart, or the pressure of guilt that is built within us, and we just need to admit it. We just need to talk to you or talk to somebody else about it, and we need to lift it up and work through it. And so, Lord, we lay ourselves before you. We lay our failures, our sins, our problems, all before you. Help us to find healing. Help us to find wholeness. Help us to let go of this pressure that is within. And help us to be free, free indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.